Welcome to Two Guys and a Question. Between them, Alan Creedy and Danny Jefferson have almost 100 years hands-on experience with funerals, funeral directors, finance, and real-life situations. Every Tuesday and Thursday, they field questions for more than 1,200 subscribers, hoping to stimulate your thinking and resolve your challenges.
This is Alan Creedy.
And this is Danny Jefferson.
Hey, Danny, today's question is one that I know happens several times a year for most every funeral director. And the question is, what is the best way to defuse a family fight? Now, everybody's leaning towards their whatever device they're using to listen on this, but let me share with you a couple of observations, and you can take it from there. First of all, my observation is that most funeral directors just hate conflict. And so the minute conflict arises, they just want to run. And I don't blame them. I'm the same way. The second is that part of this you need to do strategically. And that is, if you will frame the arrangements conference in a statement that says, now we're here to honor your mother's life, or we're here to honor your father's life. Later on, if things go awry, you can kind of use that as a linchpin to bring it back to, okay, now we're here to honor your mother's life. What's going on right now doesn't seem to me to be honoring your mother's life. Can we get back to you the funeral arrangements? So anyway, what are some of the instances that you could share, one or two war stories?
Well, before I share the war stories, I want to let you know that this is always a problem in a funeral home when it creates more time.
Mm-hmm. Costs more time, yeah.
More energy.
Effort.
And it...
And emotion.
Right. It just takes a strong person to stay with it,
mm-hmm.
to focus, keep the family focused. What you said was absolutely correct.
So what I hear you saying is, regardless of what happens, you have to be the adult in the room.
You have to be, but don't ever, and I've heard these stories. I saw some on a social media site the other day that said I had to be a referee. Don't ever say that.
Yeah.
Now, most of the time, in most every situation, if you have whatever comes out of your mouth ends in a question mark.
Okay.
It cannot cause ire and people to get angry with you.
Okay. So I hear you saying there, not to take responsibility for resolving it.
No, it's not your place to resolve, however.
And they don't expect you to either.
Right. But I think a mediator might be the better word.
Okay. All right.
So you say in one particular situation that the person has brothers and sisters, but, oh, by the way, we've got... He's married, but they have been separated for a year, but they don't have any papers.
Okay.
Well, in pretty much every state in America, that's a problem.
Okay.
So you have to start asking more questions. Well, are they legally separated? When you get all the legal questions out, then you have to ask more questions. Do you think that the wife, if she is called that, willing to give up her rights to let you all pay for this service and plan it?
So when you present that to them, I know you're talking about asking questions, but at some point, don't you need to inform them that the law gives her rights and authority over theirs?
Oh, yeah. But it's going to be whatever your state laws are.
Right.
They're not going to be... they're going to be very, very similar.
Say that. Yeah.
They're going to be very similar when it comes to a spousal situation. But I've learned a lot of things over the years, and one of them is that conflict obviously is not a lot of fun, but it can be resolved when you keep asking them questions until you center, you'll find something that they can agree on.
So I'll keep coming back for the audience's sake. You're not letting them transfer the monkey to your back.
Not yet. So if I ask them a question, does she have enough money to pay for this?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, well, no, she doesn't have any money, or she's not going to give up that money or whatever. then you might ask him, are you willing to pay for it if she lets you do that?
Okay.
And then you keep asking questions, because a lot of times, Alan, I've told you this before, the two things will always happen. And one of them is the money becomes an issue.
Yep.
So you can diffuse these situations. And if you go to a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and one of the things that Alan and I, we talk about this all the time, is if you keep asking questions, you're going to get some answers.
Well, people tend to, eventually, they tend to tell you the truth. Not always, but most of the time. But I'm going back to this sequence here, okay? I'm making arrangements, and all of a sudden, I don't know, we could play Smothers Brothers here, and somebody says, well, Mom always liked you best. And, yeah, I'm not going to have anything to do with this. Or what it is, what you find out is it's a shield not to have to admit that they don't have any money to contribute.
Well, you could ask them, so tell me about your relationship with your mom. What would your mom want you all to do today?
Oh, okay.
You keep asking questions about...
What you did there, and I'm trying to react. What you did there was you took the focus off whoever is having an argument and put it back on mom.
What you said at the beginning of this podcast... You have to do that. You have got to keep them focused on the deceased.
So part of the way of defusing it is putting it back on the deceased, keeping the focus where it should be in the first place, and honoring the deceased in some way.
Right. It goes back to your pre-need program, too. If mom had already made these, you wouldn't have this discussion.
Yeah.
But it does come back to, you can divide a family when you start talking about money.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get answers with some of them. A lot of times, these problems solve themselves when you find out that the one raising the most noise is the one that has the least amount of money.
Right. But it's not always about money.
Not always. Not always. But it's a big, big player in this.
Yeah. Some people just like to be troublemakers.
Yeah. But you have one thing in common. When the hearse pulls out, the rest of the siblings back up a truck.
Yeah, okay.
It just happens. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But these situations, and the answer to this question truly is in questions.
So what you're saying, I began by saying to frame the question by making the deceased the center. I didn't realize I was doing that, but now that you've clarified that you ask probing questions, that not necessarily dealing with that dispute that might be happening at the moment, but about really centering back on the deceased, saying, is this what do you think they would have wanted? Have they ever talked with you about it? Things of that nature.
And yes, and obviously, Alan, we're going to have people that are going to call us or email us, and we get those and we appreciate them. We want more questions. But they've had situations where there's just two children.
Mm-hmm.
No spouse.
Mm-hmm.
One wants cremate and the other one doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Then what do you do?
If they can't agree.
If they can't agree.
Mm-hmm.
So your state's going to be different. In North Carolina, we have to wait. It's a 10-day holding period.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, in 10 days, somebody bends. Somebody backs off.
So what do you do, Danny, if you actually reach an impasse where there's just no movement and you've used all the techniques you can think of at that moment?
Well, it happened. And fortunately, in my career, I've only had it happen a couple of times.
Yeah, that seems to be the common.
Then you have to ask them to just go see an attorney. And when the law would tell us what to do. And we just put the body. And we need to make sure you're aware that it's $75 a day holding charge.
Right.
Wait a minute. So we better hurry up and get this, because 10 days is $750.
Right.
I can do that math in my head.
Yeah.
That sometimes gets them going.
Okay.
Whenever you talk about money, they tend to come to an agreement.
Do you ever do a timeout?
I have. And I've just said, maybe let's just reconvene tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock if it was an afternoon.
All right.
You're in the morning, you can ask him, say, maybe we could come back here at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
So what I think you might be forcing them to do at that point and in the moment is to make a decision as to whether they can resolve this now or postpone the argument and get this particular stuff done so they don't have to come back tomorrow.
And better yet, they take the argument and go somewhere else and decide.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, you don't make the statement that you don't want to be a referee. You just make the statement that let's talk about this. Let's give us some time.
Okay. So to recap, you got to be the adult. It would help if you would start every arrangement conference, regardless of the situation, with a framing statement of why you're there. You ask questions. You continue to ask probing questions. You ask things like, what would she have wanted? And then if you do reach an impasse, you call for timeout.
Right.
Now, I'm going to be dramatic. You ever had anybody pull a gun?
Not yet.
What would you do?
Shoot back. No, I haven't had one. I have had them to carry. I had a gentleman carry a gun into the arrangement conference, mm-hmm. and it was showing. It wasn't concealed.
Yeah.
And he explained that he was licensed to carry it. I didn't ask for the license. I just assumed he was correct. No, I wouldn't want to be in that situation.
I think I'd find a way to calm things down and call 911.
Well,
I have a rule in my life. If you mention the word attorney or lawyer, I stop talking and you talk to my attorney.
Right. And I agree.
But I think the same is true of gun.
It's the same thing with funeral directors.
Mm-hmm.
If you're asking questions and all you're doing is asking questions mm-hmm. and not ending your sentences with a period, there is no court in the land that's going to convict you of anything. You can't get convicted of asking a question. You can get convicted of making a statement.
Well, I think the point is 99% of the time it's going to resolve the problem.
Most of the time. Now, just not trying to rehash any of this, but I found that the most circumstances come sometimes when they walk in, but you just have to start from the beginning.
Yeah.
You can do it, and we can help.
Remember to send your questions by clicking the link at www.twoguysandaquestion.com. New questions are answered every Tuesday and Thursday at 4:22 p.m. Eastern Time.